episode 10 of Let's Talk Tinnitus. In this episode, I'm going to be showing you some of the best bits from my fourth Otto Tinnitus coaching session. Hi everyone, I hope you're all doing so well. I've just got back from a weekend away in Snowdonia in Wales. We basically stayed in this Airbnb in the middle of nowhere, and it was the biggest tinnitus escape ever. Our cabin was right next to a big waterfall and a river, and because we were surrounded by the trees and the forest, it was honestly the best soundscape going on. It was the best tinnitus getaway, honestly. It was amazing and it was an absolute bargain, so what more could I want? So I'm going to play for you some of the best bits from my fourth ever Otto tinnitus coaching session with Anna Pugh, and this was a couple of days ago, so this was just after I got back from holiday, and I was in such a better mindset just to talk about things, and I was able to reflect a lot on my previous coaching sessions with Anna. So it's nice just to share with you how I'm getting on with that, and I think you'll be able to get a sense of how well I'm doing now compared to how I was through these little snippets. So I hope you enjoy, and thank you for listening. My mind doesn't really go into a place of negativity as such anymore. It used to, but now I realize it is there, but it's not going to hurt me. And I say that to myself every single time, that it does kind of get on my nerves. But the thing that I've been struggling with recently, but up until now, I'd say, is that I always struggle to find that sense of control. But with the breathing exercises and doing different things quite quickly when I notice it, it's helped me a lot. The breathing exercises are definitely helping, but it's going to take time. It really is for me. I don't know why, but it's just one of them things. It's kind of like exercise, isn't it, really? It's like you've got to do it for the greater good. And you will get to the point where you are relaxed by it and it is enjoyable to do.
And very much like exercise, the more you do it, the better you'll become at it.
Yeah.
The more you practice something, the more you embed it within your neural networks, your general well-being. You know, I always talk about the way that we practice our habits so that it's as simple as brushing your teeth in the morning. You don't put time aside to brush your teeth in the morning.
Yeah.
You just get up and brush your teeth.
Yeah.
And doing exercises to help you sort of calm yourself when you're feeling that anxious sort of response with tinnitus or that annoyance with tinnitus. If you can drop into those habitual sort of breathing exercises, the grounding exercise that we've talked about, the more you can do those and it becomes easy and you don't even really think about it.
Yeah, I think the difficulty with me is that I've got to always talk about it. I've got to the point where I've made this community and I love talking about it, and I now know it kind of the back of my hand, and I know the things I should be doing, but it's trying to find the balance between having it as a part of me, but not making it me, not making it take over me. It's trying to find that control, even though it's something I'm trying to spread that awareness about.
And it's a huge issue because you've got a lot invested in that part of you. And, you know, we talked about those different selves that we have and how we use different selves to present ourselves to the world. And it is really difficult because the more we talk about tinnitus, the more we focus on it.
Yeah.
And I'm exactly the same. You know, I spend my days talking about tinnitus and thinking about tinnitus. And it's very much where you are, that you're the person with tinnitus that people recognize. And so, yes, you have to learn to sort of refocus and focus your energies on getting through the day and being okay with having tinnitus, but also recognizing how difficult that struggle is for other people. Mm. And being a role model as you are, I think it's really important that you recognize that in yourself, that you need time for yourself as well.
Yeah. It's taking the break away this past weekend. It's been so nice because we were basically situated by a waterfall and we're in the woods, and it was the biggest getaway from my tinnitus. But I didn't touch my phone once, and I just said to myself, right, this weekend I'm not going to touch it because I need to separate myself and get my head back into like who is that part of me that I was before I was really focusing on the tinnitus. And it did make me realize I need to like set some like boundaries with like, because I'm always on my phone, always answering people's questions. It's like a non-stop job, and I enjoy it though. Like, it's nothing that's like bothering me, but when I think about it, maybe like it isn't doing me favors sometimes.
And that's why, that's why I introduced that Russian doll thing to you, sort of, because you need to recognize that sense of self and those different personas that you need to have, because you do need time to look after you and to be you as well. And using those kind of little tips and techniques, and when you do have a wobbly day, a wobbly moment, you've got those kind of, I know what to do about it. And you're the kind of person that likes to be in control. You like to know what's going on, and that's what tinnitus can undermine, that sense of control. So if you've got things that you can use to give you back that sense of control, that you change the narrative, you change the language that you use, that you have control over your emotional response to things, then that and to hearing your tinnitus, that can make a huge difference. And it will allow you then to have that balance. So you need to separate the Karis, who's the supporter and the role model, the Karis, who's the nearly finished student. Hurrah, well done you.
Finally.
Finally. And then, and then the Karis as a person, as a woman, and how that influences you and how that changes you. And all of those things are possible at the same time, but they need to ha create that balance. And I think balance is such an important thing, because tinnitus can influence all those different aspects of our sense of self and can change our sense of self. So that's why we talk about that, and why it's so important to recognize that impact. And then, because we then recognize it, you can learn to minimize it and to divert it. Use it positively, and you're using your experiences in a really positive way by helping other people.
I think it's nice that there's like positivity out there now, because from when I first started really suffering with it, I used to go on Facebook forums and there were so many people on there that were so negative. It was like a massive shutdown for me, because they would basically say, oh, there's no way out, there's no cure, you can't do anything about it. And but I think that when people read that, so many people fall into that negative mindset and they don't realize there is a positive way out of it.
It's really hard. We talk about cognitive dissonance. We talk about challenging our thought patterns, because our thoughts influence our behaviors, influence our feelings. And if we're thinking negatively, and if we're always hearing negative things, it's really hard to move away from it. If you wake up in the morning and go, oh, it's going to be a bad day, it's really hard for then to have a good day. And with tinnitus, because it is so intrusive for so many people, it's really hard to move away and to be positive. But the only way to go forward is to be positive, and not in a naive sort of airy fairy kind of hippie way, but in a real, genuine, authentic way of taking control and getting your life back. And it's really important that you can do that, and to challenge those things. And that's what acceptance and commitment therapy is all about. It's recognizing there are things in life that we can change and things in life that we can't change, but we can definitely change our attitude to, and our own response to. And that's something we do have control over. And that's why when we talk about habituation, it's so important to recognize what habituation is for every individual person. For some people, it'll be periods of time when they don't notice their tinnitus at all. Other people, it will be a point where the tinnitus doesn't intrude on their lives. But it is the only proven cure for tinnitus,
I was going to say with habituation, I was thinking, is habituation a process or a destination, or a destination as such?
It's definitely a process. It's not an event. You don't wake up one Tuesday morning and go, oh, I am habituated. But what happens is that over time, very gradually, and in very small incremental steps, quite often, you find that, oh, I haven't noticed that I haven't noticed my tinnitus today. Or, oh, I was doing this and, oh, I didn't hear my tinnitus.
With like the loop earplugs, like they do stop tinnitus spikes, and a lot of people, tinnitus fluctuations, a lot of people do say to
Well
me,
done.
yeah, a lot of people do say to me that their earplugs make it more intense for them. I'm not sure why. It could be like hyperacusis and things like that.
It tends to be that their ears are blocked up. So, of course, they're going to hear their own head resonance. They're going to hear their tinnitus more because they're not getting
Yeah, that's the
external.
thing. Like, I try and explain to people, like, when I put my earplugs in, my tinnitus is louder. But at the end of the day, if I go to a loud environment and then come back home and take them out, it's not going to be as much of a fluctuation as it would be without.
And it's really good because what you're doing is you're being aware that you need to protect your hearing, but you're also still participating in things. So many people with tinnitus stop going out and doing things and taking part in things. They withdraw themselves from family and friends. They stop going to work. They stop using their hairdryer and the washing machine and stuff like that because they're worried about the noise. So if there are things that can help sort of mitigate some of that and some of that fear about that because you're doing something about it, I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, and it's like I don't wear them all the time, but only in
No, when
environments
you're
where I
going in
know
those
it does.
situations. Exactly. And
I also have a
that's
few people on my tinnitus server, and they basically say they measure the decibels that they're in wherever they are. And like, I say to them, like, that's good. Like, it's good to know like what decibels like do spike your tinnitus. But like, I think it's kind of bad if you're constantly stressed and looking out for these things.
If you're constantly spending time going, this might upset my tinnitus, this might upset my tinnitus. So you're all automatically going in with a negative mindset of this might affect my tinnitus, worrying about it. And then it's attachment concerns and worries that you attach going to anywhere with danger.
You've got to go
And
with like a positive mind, because like someone said, oh, I'm scared about going in a car journey tomorrow with my friends because I know it's going to be loud. I'm like, you can't be scared. Like, take your hearing protection because that will stop like a fluctuation. But if you go in there scared, it's only going to make it more stressful and make it worse for you and got in the car.
And inside a car is not loud.
No,
You
yeah.
know, it's loud, but it's not loud so that it can do any actual harm to your hearing. It's not loud enough to damage your hearing.
Exactly,
Yeah, unless you're in an army jeep.
Do you get a lot of people that are quite worried about tinnitus being set off by noise?
One of the things that I spend a lot of time doing is doing a kind of similar type of thing to exposure therapy, where you allow people a little bit of time with sound that's a little bit louder than they're comfortable with. Not loud sound, but you know, sound that's just a little bit more, and introduce sound. Lots of people, you know, I've known people who don't use the hairdryer because they're worried about the noise of the hairdryer.
But for others, it's completely random, isn't it? It's unpredictable. It doesn't even have to be by sound. But you're lucky if, like, for me, I feel lucky that I know what's going to set off my tinnitus. So in that sense, I do feel like I have some control over that because I know when to wear the earplugs and when I don't
And
really need to.
you've got that protection, you've got that control, so you know that you're doing everything that you can to minimize the amount of fluctuations. But you also know that when you do have fluctuations, you know what's going on now. It's not what's happening. And it's that emotional what's happening that can lead you into a negative spiral. And if you're not doing that, that's really good.
I know that in my like next year of uni, I know I will get a bad spike. I know I will fluctuation. I need to stop saying spike, but I know that I will get a bad one. And it is the most isolating thing. It's like either if I forgot my earplugs or they fell out or something. It can last for like 2 weeks, and I have like really isolated myself like in my first year and my second year of uni simply because I didn't want the stress of saying what about 20 times in a sentence. And it like I know now that I'll probably try and do breathing exercises, but I am a little bit scared of if when I do have this fluctuation, because I know it will happen, I don't really know if I'm going to cope as well as I do with the small ones I do at the moment.
Okay. Well, one of the things that might be really useful is, you remember when we did that chair exercise, when you imagined a different you and you were looking at you from an observer perspective? It might be worthwhile doing some visualizations and thinking about those kind of situations. Not feeling them, but like watching a video of you going through that and thinking about how you would, what could you do about it? What could you do better? How could you do that? And we can certainly do that on the next session. We could play around with, we're doing some visualizations and some imagery, so that you've got in your, if that does happen, you've got in your sort of toolbox, oh, I remember what would happen if this happened.
It's like a little like SOS like kit in my head then, isn't it? Like,
Yeah, little
it's
first
true,
aid
yeah.
thing.
Little first aid thing. I know that I can cope with it when it happens. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea because I will like have my tools and things. I'll have the Otto app, and usually when things like that happen, I put like my white noise on, but I often can't even hear my phone when it gets that loud, which is a bit of a problem because like sounds are my biggest relief, I'd say. So it's just trying to get myself up and out the house and doing something, because I guess I don't know if like listening to going outside and listening to sounds would slow like quicken the process of like getting the fluctuations
It's
down or
changing,
something.
it's again changing that focus. That's what we'll need to do. We'll work on a couple of things to redirect your focus rather than sitting listening to it and becoming more and more distressed. Changing the focus.
Yeah, because I guess it's like people say to me, do you drink coffee? I'm like, I do, but I know that it makes my tinnitus louder. Then I'm like, why do you drink it? I'm like, because it's a simple pleasure. Like, it's something that I enjoy doing. Like, I wake up, have a coffee, but it's the fact that I know it's going to make my tinnitus worse. Like, I'm prepared for it, but I do get on with my day because I'm awake. I don't need to go to sleep or anything, and I just get on with what I'm doing, so it doesn't really bother me that much because I'm busy. So I guess like if it does get to the point where it's really bad because I've gone out and I've lost my earplugs, like, I could just try and get up and really see how that works, because I've never really got up and got moving when things like that. I just try and sleep because that's
Go
the
in bed
easy
and
escape.
go in bed and snuggle up. And that's a normal human response to feeling terrible, isn't it? I'm feeling terrible, and I snuggle up and be asleep, and it will be better in the morning. And it generally is better in the morning. But sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you have things to do. And so what we'll do is we'll do some exercises, and we'll do some visualizations and create some sort of different scenarios that we can play around with. So you go, oh, I recognize this. I remember what we did then. Okay,
Definitely.
I think that would be a really good sort of thing for you to hold on to.
Do you have any more like physical exercises that you'd say are quite
Yeah.
good? Like the head tapping like motion thing, kind of along them lines.
Yeah, there are quite a few of those. There are some nice sort of comforting stretching. So one of the nice things is the head stretch. Have you seen that one,
No.
where you're sort of cradling your head, but you're
Right.
stretching, and so you're pulling all of this tight because that's where it sort of tights, but you're comforting as well, and that's quite a nice sort of, that's
Oh
quite a
yeah.
nice thing to do.
Does
Yeah,
it cool
so
down here?
it's not pull. Yeah, it pulls here and stretches, so you breathe out
That's
and you
nice
breathe
actually.
out and move it kind of to there, but
Oh, I
you're
quite like
comfortable.
that. I can proper feel it.
Yeah, and that's quite a nice thing. And there's also the holding of your head and moving your head forward and moving your head back. But you've got your hands
I
sort
like
of
that because it's like
here and
listening to a shell, isn't it? It's like
yeah.
putting
But
your head on a shell.
but that's quite a nice sort of, you've got that sort of, but when you're moving that, you're moving your whole torso, so you're sort of releasing and stretching some
Yeah,
of that,
some
but
people
it's
find
comforting because
relief
you're stretching
from tapping on the back of the head,
from
don't they?
tapping at the back of the neck. Yeah, lots of people do this clicking thing at the back of the neck. I think it's just another way of tapping and relaxing because you're doing something, so you're feeling better, because there's no direct correlation to this part of your head and your auditory processing part of your brain. But it does make you feel, it does make people feel better, and they're relaxing, and their shoulders and neck sort of relax, and their less tense. They feel better, which is great. So whatever gets you through.